Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. That's where we are going to start off. We are going to be in Exodus chapter 34. Let's start right from the beginning there. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke.'" And if you remember right, Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, only to find that the people were disobeying the very things that God had just told them to do. Moses was up on the mountain too long, and so they went to Aaron and they said, "Please make for us a God." So it says he collected earrings, he collected bracelets, and according to Aaron, he just threw them all into the fire, and out popped this golden image. Golden. And so all the people were involved in revelry, and that certainly isn't how God wants to be worshipped. You know, worship of the Lord and getting drunk, those things should not go together. You know, when you think about your rowdiest party in the world and worshiping God, those things are like opposites. They are not like the same thing. And somehow these people had turned it into that. They'd turned it into a big crazy party. And there's the golden image. And everybody's having drinks and being happy. Moses comes down and he throws those tablets down. They're broken. And there's this point where God steps in judgment on the people. So here we are in 34. This lesson is now behind them. Hopefully they've learned something from it. And God directed him. He says, "Cut out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them." So can you imagine that, taking a chisel and a hammer, and you're hammering out these tablets, knowing that you're going to bring them up and God's going to write on them? He says, "Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or to be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks or herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first one and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning. And as the Lord had commanded him, he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second, because this is what the Lord proclaimed when he walked in front of Moses. So God here is telling us some things about him. Hear the word. The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children's children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. Wow. The Lord just told a lot about himself. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. "Lord," he said, "if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance." Then the Lord says, "I'm making a covenant with you. Before all the people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, have done for you. Obey what I command you today, and I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Wow. So Moses is recognizing that their future, if there's any hope for them, is a hope because God goes with them. But he is recognizing that God going with them is not like a prize or an award that they're going to receive because of their faithfulness and consistency. In fact, just the opposite. He is making the point that God, faithfulness and consistency is something that we are not good at. Our only hope is if you go with us to help us. For your presence and your help, is our future and our hope. And I'll tell you, that's where we all are too. You know, you can't kneel at an altar of prayer and make all these promises. God, I'm a type of man that you can count on. If I make a commitment on something, I'll never waver, and I will always stick right to it. I'll tell you what, those words sound good, and they're good when they come out of our mouth, but it's like you let a year go by, and you consider all 365 days of the year, and you consider all 24 hours of every day, and you ask the question, I mean, were you consistent and unwavering in every way? And everybody, if they were honest, would have to say, well, no. We all have areas of difficulty, areas of weakness. It's not like we can somehow make a promise to the Lord that's so big and our resolution is so complete that we are a person that God can count on, that we can be left alone and we will be successful in our journey of faithfulness. No. Our only hope for being the people of God is if he goes with us. He puts his spirit within us to guide us in how we should go. We walk in fellowship with him, and we are taught in the book of 1 John that his blood continually cleanses us of sin as we walk with him. We need that. Our salvation isn't an our salvation, it's an us and God project. And I think there's some times that it seems like he's doing all the work. I know Jenny just finished up her bachelor's degree, and it was an online degree. And a lot of what they do through these programs today, and hers was a business program, they have you working in teams doing team projects. And some of those team projects can get frustrating because you have some folks that have signed up for the class and they paid the fee, but the idea that I actually have to do something hasn't dawned on them yet. And you find yourself, well, hey, I've got these four other people in my group, and I'm supposedly going to lead this group, and the other four aren't really following up and doing anything. And because the stuff's done online, you can see that you even got this one who hasn't even gone online and signed on at all. By this time, they should have done this, 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 and this to contribute to what we're doing. And in some ways, I remember the conversations, in some ways, I feel like it's a big ripoff because I'm carrying this load, and maybe you got a couple others that are carrying part of the load, but then you got one that seemingly is not carrying any of the load. Well, I want to tell you, when it comes down to us as a project, there's a lot of ways where the Lord's carrying the entire load. He carries the entire load when it has come to our salvation. So there we go. He got the thing started, not us. But we get to walk with him through life. We get to cooperate with him. We get to obey him. We get to listen to him. We get to grow in him in maturity and understanding. But even with maturity and understanding, we have ways where sometimes we are stubborn. Sometimes we have wrong ideas. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes we're whatever comes along, and we get sidetracked. And God has wonderful ways of waking us up and getting us, helping us to see where we ought to be. And the Christian life involves confession and repentance to the Lord and making adjustments. And but it's a project. He is walking with us to help us in this. So Moses is recognizing, Lord, I know my people, of which I'm a part of it, can be stubborn. And forgiveness is going to have to be a part of our ongoing way. But please go with us. Please make us your people. And the Lord says, I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to do something among you so that other people will look and will see your life. And they will recognize my hand at work. And that's what he did for them. And you know, the truth is, that's what he does for us. If you will make the Lord Jesus Christ the most precious thing in your life, and you will walk with him, you'll find that he's going to bless you in our crazy, chaotic world. Folks are going to recognize that there's something different about you. There's so many things and folks you meet that they might look great on the outside, but you get to know them a little bit and you're like, But I'll tell you what, a true person of God, the more you get to know them, there's something about them that just seems right. You know, if you can see God in that home, in those people, you're like, there's something about this home that's what a home ought to be. In a marriage with two people that are like that, there's something about that marriage that's how it ought to be. And you can apply it to business. And when we decide to really put Jesus Christ first, boy, oh boy, changes everything. And that's how God wants it to be. Did you catch that last verse there? It says, where the Lord is talking about himself. It says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord. Guess that next verse? Whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Now, when we hear the word jealousy, the first thing usually you think about is an insecure person who ever feels like they can't trust somebody else. God is not insecure. But God is not interested in having a relationship with you where you're not really fully committed to him. He's not interested in that. The type of relationship he wants to have with you is where you love him with all your heart, and you love him with all your soul, and you love him with all your might. That's what he wants. Let's continue on with this one here. Be careful not to make a treaty, verse 15, with those who live in the land, for they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, and they will invite you to eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those whose daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same thing. And he's saying, folks, and I tell you, that applies to us too, folks that are just, you know, we need to choose when it comes to our main commitment areas in life. We need to choose as our partners, the ones that we're going to walk with, people of God. I mean, if you have somebody who's a fine Christian person and they decide they want to marry or enter into some kind of partnership with somebody who is not there, it's not going to be a positive thing. It's not what you should have. Verse 18, celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month. Verse 19, the first offspring of every womb belongs to me. In, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether from your herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb. If you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem all your firstborn sons. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. The idea is that when the Lord brings something to us, the first part of it is something that we should offer back to him, whatever it would be. I know for me, I grow two types of limes. I have a lemon tree. I've got bananas. I've got figs, pineapples in my yard. And it's so exciting whenever I get the first fruit off the plant. I don't tell anybody about that. I'm just telling you this because I'm your pastor. I mean, the first one that always comes, I thank God for it. I take it down and I thank God that God gave me that. And then usually I'll either give it away, or I'll invite somebody over and they don't know it, but it's going to be a part of what I'm making because it's something that I'm offering special as in love. And for you, I mean, God blesses your business. The first money you get in, I think I'd say, God, I'm going to give this to you, whatever that means. Or, you know, think about my son. My son's first name is Christian. His middle name is Joshua. Jesus' Hebrew name was Yeshua. And I'm like, I have no idea what this kid's going to do in life, but he's given to you. He's given to you. And then my second one comes along. And the Lord reminded me that things like this are so precious. The best place for them are in his hands, not mine. So I gave away number two to him, too. I'm so glad I did. Verse 21, 6 days shall you labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and in the harvest, you must rest. The whole idea is that we do not exist to be a workhorse. You work your hardest for 6 days, and then the seventh day is a day of rest. Verse 22, celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the festival of the ingathering, the turn of the year. 3 times shall all your men appear before the sovereign Lord. I will drive out the nations before you. I will enlarge your territory. No one will covet their land when you go up 3 times a year to appear before the Lord your God. And then let's move down to verse 29. And when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the 2 tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. So Moses comes down, everybody sees his face, and they are fearful, and they run away from him before he even says something. Now, it's radiant, so it's wonderful, but almost a scary type of wonderful. Now, scary type of wonderful. Like, have you ever seen, like, a storm coming? And you look at the clouds and you're like, oh. I mean, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, but it's scary. I remember being in the hospital when my kids were born. And it's wonderful, but you're looking at the whole thing and going, I can't screw this one up. You know, what a huge responsibility being a parent is. Oh, my gosh, huge, huge, huge. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Sinai. This face that was radiant. And I was thinking about that. And it was reminding me that they talked about this in the New Testament in the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, says, "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. For with Moses, when he'd go up on the mountain, he'd be with God, that radiant face of his, it was something that only lasted a little bit of time." Have any of you guys ever had one of these glow-in-the-dark toys when you were a kid? You know, you'd put it right under the light for a little bit, and then you'd turn the light off, and you're playing with glow-in-the-dark monster, glow-in-the-dark G.I. Joe, or whatever. But glow-in-the-dark monster was only glowing for a certain amount of time. And you could, even the best of them, I mean, you play with it for a little bit, and then you set it on your nightstand, you go to bed, and you know, you wake up a little bit, and it's like, hey, glow-in-the-dark, you have died on me. You got to go put it under the light again if you're going to want to light it up. And in some ways, that's how it was with Moses' face. He put a veil over it until the radiance of it would go down and he would go back to normal. And what Paul is saying here is he says, with us, people that have in their heart of hearts made their mind up that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most precious thing in their life, and they are loving him and they are walking with him and they are filled with the Spirit, there is a radiance and glow about them. But it is not like Moses' radiance and glow, that when he came down from the mountain, little by little, the radiance is going down. No. It's just the opposite. With us who are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, that radiance and glow is something that is increasing. He says, it's not like with Moses where it was a radiance that was just passing away. No. Verse 16 says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image." Catch this. "With ever-increasing glory." So the radiance that a person has when they have made their mind up that Jesus Christ is number one, when they love Him and when they're walking with Him, there's just a radiance to them. But it's like as they continue to walk with Him, continue to love Him, that radiance, they become more and more like Him, but the radiance grows. And that's to God's glory. I remind you as well that the Apostle Paul talked about us, these people that really love the Lord. Says we are like, if you look up in a dark sky and you think how wonderful and beautiful the stars are, says we are like those stars in the dark sky. Well, the most precious thing of all is the Lord has said that in the new covenant, the place where He dwells is not in a temple built with human hands. The place where He dwells is in the lives of His people. That was Jesus' prayer in John 17, that He would be in us and we would be in Him. And with all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our strength, if we love Him and walk with Him, that is the essence of what life's all about. That is what a complete, beautiful life looks like. And that is why we were created, for fellowship with Him. And we come to the end, to our bodies are sort of like cars. As much as you love them, you can only put so many miles on them before they're all worn out. And these bodies, it don't matter. You can eat all the vitamins and use all the essential oils and take Melaleuca and what else do we got? Exercise. Time catches up with all of us. And you know, when this body's done, the relationship and the walk with the Lord does not end. Now he's there for us. And says he's gone on to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we can be as well. And just like almost stepping into another room, we step into eternity with him. It's like a home more homey than any home you've ever been to. More beautiful, more wonderful. You step in, you see the Lord, and you also see those people that have walked with the Lord, that great cloud of witnesses that's surrounding us even now. Amen. Let me pray with you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and close. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. Thinking about your word shows us how to live and how to please you. It helps us to learn about you. But Lord, getting to walk with you, what a privilege it is we have. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless each and every one of these. And Lord, this week they will go places and they'll be around people. They will interact with people on the phone, on the computer, in their neighborhoods, in the restaurants where they go to, in the workplace, in their schools. And Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, you'd use them everywhere they go. May they be a blessing. May they know the wonder of having your presence within them and you using them. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.